T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
49 years, game set, and we're here.
Bernie Federico, the greatest of all time.
Who is that?
The great thing about this Blues run is so many folks from St. Louis who you find out are Blues fans, including Pam from The Office.
Who is that?
I would just like to start a cheer.
Let's go, Blues!
Let's go!
Now, what did I say? The big line's going to get going?
What a shot by Marshawn!
Is there any one person who said anything in particular tonight?
The ref, they got a hard job. They got a hard job. Sometimes they miss it, but we got to rise above it.
Thanks, Z.
What are you excited about, Liam? Game 7!
Chris Kate, the Red Sox released a statement overnight saying David Ortiz is recovering from surgery after he was shot in the lower back. Ortiz's father says his son is stable and out of danger.
It doesn't look like a robbery based on what we've seen, so that would suggest that this is part of some type of conspiracy in the sense that more than one person was involved in a crime that looks like an attempt to take his life.
Right now.
This is our city, and nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
What a crazy night, huh? Unbelievable. We're all sitting around. We're watching the Bruins come to life. St. Louis thought the thing was in the bag. They had the Stanley Cup was there. The champagne was there.
Letter from
the owner thanking all the fans for making us Stanley Cup champs, and the Bruins steal one and bring it back to Game 7. And as you're watching it play out in the third period, you're hearing the news that David Ortiz has been shot. Now, originally, it was he was shot in this outdoor bar. Okay. And then suddenly, out of that, we find out a couple of hours later that it's far more serious. We see the video now where he's shot in the lower back on the left side. The bullet popped out and hit his friend in the leg, which is where they
who's
got
another popular guy.
Right, where they got confusion. He's a host of a variety show, late night variety show on TV down there. And then we hear that David Ortiz has got some internal problems. I just mentioned to you the intestine, the colon, the gallbladder, damage to the liver. Now, the good news now is that he is stable, still serious, and as I mentioned, he's on a plane in the next hour or two, headed back to Boston, and he will receive great treatment over at Mass General Hospital, and that's needed now because after something like this, you can get all sorts of complications. So we're still rivaling and enjoying the Bruins win, and we've got all of this suddenly on the table and the motive and trying to figure it out. And the Daily Mail comes out just hours ago and reports that the police, and they've got it from 3 law enforcement sources, believe that a drug lord was behind all of this, and he had David Ortiz shot by some jabroni out there over an alleged affair with his wife. And so this is making the rounds right now, and this thing is getting...
And pictures are accompanying it.
And pictures are starting to show up out there, and, you know, it's crazy.
I see people think I'm an insider on everything.
No,
they want me to run with these stories. I know better. I'm not touching any of these things.
Hockey
/ baseball / everything.
Wouldn't you say that so far through the story, it's been a little bit shaky, the reporting? So you almost want to wait until some of this stuff kind of feeds
through. Okay, but I just go based on the facts, okay? So I know is that a very popular person was sitting in an open-air cafe, right? Is that basically what it is?
Yes.
Okay. And some random guy came up through the crowd as everybody was sitting down having drinks or whatever.
He was on a motorcycle or scooter.
But if you've seen any of these cartel movies, like Pablo Escobar movies, there's always the driver of the motorcycle, and the guy that's doing the shooting sits on the back. He jumps off. He walks in casually into the restaurant, does his job,
yep,
jumps back on the motorcycle, and they run off into the night.
Right.
That didn't happen with this guy.
Thank God you
Garcia.
Watched those movies because you could relate to it.
Think of the balls that this guy would have to walk into a public restaurant, open air, tons of witnesses. Because if you do a job like that, You basically are just, that's a death sentence. Well, you're not getting away with it.
He's lucky.
Somebody's going to see you.
He's lucky he's
alive. So why would he do it?
No, he's lucky he's alive because before law enforcement got involved, the vigilantes were beating the living crap out of him.
And he was held, that's what they call custody. Custody in the Dominican Republic is the suspect sitting up against the wall on the ground and everybody holding their phones, videotaping him and kicking the crap out of him.
In this country,
that's custody.
Vigilante or gang violence. That's what we call it.
This is something fishy about this. Yeah. A guy like this with this that is as popular as the Pope does not just get targeted like David Ortiz did.
Okay, Arlen is in Lawrence and said recently in the area where Ortiz was shot. Arlen, give us your story here.
So I was there last week. I got back about Tuesday morning.
You were there. You were where last week? Where were you there?
I was in Santo Domingo. My in-laws live about 5-7 minutes away from the area. I wasn't at a resort. Like,
okay.
I'm Dominican. So I'm like pure. You get me? I don't do that tourist stuff.
Yep.
And to be honest, like your last caller, what he said, like, those guys are treated like gods over there. Like, you cannot touch those guys. Anybody that got a door to the president, like, you cannot mess with those guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if that had to do with a woman, because it's been going on for, like, the past 4 years. Anybody that comes from here, you can be, like, a regular person like me. As if you got some money or whatever, you go over there, these women are going to be flocking. So I wouldn't be surprised, like that guy said, if you mess with the wrong woman. And that's what happened, because a Dominican, if you mess with his woman, it happens a lot where the people getting shot at and killed because you mess with the wrong woman, you mess with somebody. So I won't be surprised if that happened. Hopefully it didn't. And also the Rolls Royce that was being driven, that was his personal car. I saw the video. I don't need translation because I speak and understand it.
Hold on. You're talking about the Rolls Royce that you think that's David Ortiz's car?
No, that was his car. The guy in the video, he said in Spanish perfectly. He said, hey, I'm in his car. I'm a real friend. All these security guards left him. I'm in his car. I got his jewelry for his family and friends just to let him know, come get it. I have his jewelry. I have his car.
I want you to translate the video that was shot of the Eddie Garcia guy that did the shooting as they were yelling and screaming at him as they were holding him in custody. That's what I want to know, what was being said at that point in time.
So basically, there was, because I saw the whole thing while I was watching the Bruins game yesterday. So basically, they were saying, like, abuser, like, they use that word a lot for any little thing. So they were probably basically calling him an abuser for, like, doing that. Like, how can you do that to him? And it happens, like, if you molest a little girl, you touch anybody, like, you do anything that's wrong to that country over there, community will not forgive you. They'll get you. I saw a video last week of a guy getting hit with a metal pipe for stealing from a corner store. They do not play well with that. It's all about respect out there. They do not play with that.
Hmm. Well,
all right, Alan. We appreciate the call. Thank you. He may be right, because now there's another story saying that whole story about the Rolls Royce being
the
friend that had the betting service, that might have been David Ortiz's car.
Makes sense.
Because there's a video later on with his friends securing all of his jewelry in the Rolls Royce. If you missed it earlier, apparently this guy is claiming that it was his Rolls Royce. He has a betting service. He says he was there with David Ortiz. He's a friend of David Ortiz. And he said to get out of the area and get to the hospital, he literally had to drive the Rolls Royce through cars.
Yeah.
So the Rolls Royce, which is worth $400,000, apparently got a lot of damage because he powered his way through cars. Now, this guy may be right, because now we're starting to see, and this is where the story is a mess, because David Price is right. The media keeps on getting wrong.
But apparently this
might be David Ortiz's car.
We're not talking about whether a guy is going to play or not based on inside information, based on friends you have that are actually players on the team, and somehow they give you the wrong information because they're lazy.
Right, exactly.
You know who I'm talking to.
Lazy.
Lazy. No. Stupid jerk.
Did Grizzlick, did he play last night?
No idea. What number is he?
Did he play last
night? Who's Grizzlick?
Did he play last night?
Who is that guy?
He's number 33.
Oh, hey, maybe, tall guy.
In your heart or in your program?
Hey, maybe he'll play Wednesday night.
Kevin Durant's going
to
play.
Oh, John in Mattapan wants to apologize for me for being wrong. John was wrong once again in making a prediction. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
Well, Big O, I didn't want you guys to think I was ducking my fate of, you know, I'll take my phone slab like a man, right?
You are a man.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you that, John.
You know, I want to say, in honesty, right, Bill? How long, I don't remember that well. You guys know better on the details. How long did it take them to call the penalty in the overtime, Bill? How long?
I don't know, 40 seconds?
If that.
Right.
Come on. They're picking a winner. Everybody's tired. They have to pick a winner after that.
Wait a minute, hold on, John. You can't do that. No, you can't say you were wrong. By the way, you were wrong in the Celtics Milwaukee series too. I nailed that one.
You're actually keeping track of his calls.
Yeah,
you do.
What's wrong with you?
but John, for some reason, people didn't take St. Louis series. You don't get to this point. I heard even people last night after the game sitting there going, "Oh, this team's not as good as Toronto." Stop it.
May I please ask you a question, sir?
Yes.
May I please ask you a question? If you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you honestly think, in all honesty, right? Do you think that the St. Louis Blues could play with the Boston Bruins as they are constituted presently without the help of the referees, Big O?
Here's my problem, John. This is why I'm worried about Wednesday night's game, Game 7. Hold on.
I agree with you.
Hey, hold on. I think they're going to get the officials to do what they want. The officials are going to swallow the whistle. The officials do not want to be the story in Game 7. And if you look at the series, every time they have called penalties out there, it's been to the benefit of the Bruins. Gives them the power play.
And I would say that if I'm the St. Louis Blues, I do not want your gifts of penalty because they suck on the power play. They're terrible at it. They're better at 5-on-5.
But that's my point.
Yeah, and then the Bruins are the ones that had the 5-3 advantage. They're the ones that got the first goal.
Christian, Wednesday night, if the two officials swallow the whistles and call very little in that game, as predicted by Pierre Maguire, who said maybe three calls in the course of the game.
Who does it benefit?
It benefits St. Louis.
Yes.
Wow. Huge.
And then, oh, by the way, hey, guys, they're not going to call anything. Be as chippy and dirty as
you
can be.
Absolutely. We can get away
with anything tonight. It's nuts to think that they don't have the advantage in that type of situation. And they're mentally better. I just think they're better, you know, built to deal with this type of circumstance on the road. No one believes you can win, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Bruins got the calls last night. They got a 5-on-3, and that changed the entire game. They got it called the way they wanted it called. And I keep on saying that. St. Louis doesn't mind if you call them against them. They just want them called both ways. But if they don't, if they swallow their whistle, and there are very few penalties in that game Wednesday night, it is a gigantic advantage for the St. Louis Blues. They just want to create mayhem out there and get away with whatever they can get away with. I gave you the numbers. These numbers are frightening. On the road, the Blues in the postseason are 9-3. 9-3. You know what the Bruins are at home? The Bruins are 7-5 at home. St. Louis is now under 500. A team that is in the Stanley Cup final about to play Game 7. They're under 500 at home in the playoffs, 5-6. How is that possible? It tells me they're just a much better team on the road.
I would also look at Bennington's record after losses.
Huge.
I think he's only got two, but it's actually, I don't even know what it is, but it's not a lot. It's really good. And for a guy that has that type of personality and that attitude, just the childish behavior that exists with him, for being such an old guy, he's really a big baby. Just acting out, doesn't get what he wants. That entire team was so chippy and dirty at the end of the game after when they knew they were losing. The punch on Achari was so dirty.
Yeah.
Last second, not a lot of time. Who cares if you get a penalty? It's not going to carry over to the next game.
No, but they think it's carrying over. What they're doing it for is they're doing it to carry it over for the next game.
It's because of Billington.
617-779-7937. We continue to talk about David Ortiz and the news out of the Dominican Republic. We also have the Bruins on the table. Is anybody else a little bit concerned about Wednesday? We do this from game to game. After a game, you watch what happened. You're a victim of the moment. You sit there and go, oh, I like the Bruins now.
I was definitely
now.
A victim of the moment.
Yeah.
I was definitely. I coined that phrase. I'm definitely guilty of it.
You are.
Because
you
I got
are the most
sucked.
Guilty of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Because I took the hook, line, and I just took it. I took the bait. I jumped into it, didn't think that the Blues could sustain their style of play, especially how good the Bruins were playing up to that point with all the rest that they had.
And by the way, the Blues do the same thing. They were feeling good about themselves after Game 5 and think they walk in to the Enterprise Center and we're in.
See, the one thing that stood out to me...
You know, put the ads, put everything out there. We're ready to win this thing. Didn't work out so well.
You're not playing my original prediction. We don't need to hear. We have all these calls. We have lots of conspiracy theories.
You predicted four games.
Okay, we don't need to hear it again.
You were like John.
We don't need to play.
Yeah. We don't need we to don't play need, it at all. No. Nobody wants to hear it.
Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear you being a dope.
Oh my God, let's take a call.
You want to take a call?
Sure. Pick one.
Hold on. Let me go to Dan in the car. Hi, Dan.
The Blues don't have a chance.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Good, Dan.
I'm a hockey insider, not an analyst.
Hey, I often think about how sports radio must be a great job to have. But I got to tell you, I'm not envious of your position today. I don't know how to reconcile, like, in order to cover this properly, obviously, you got to talk about the Daily Mail story. And you got to speculate, you know, on all that's involved there. But then also in your head, you think about David Ortiz and his family and you know, all that he's given to the city and all that he's done in the Dominican Republic for good. I'm curious how you balance that and how you kind of make sense of what to cover and how to cover it in a situation like this. It just seems like, you know, part of me wanted to call in and speculate as to what's going on, but then I'm like, you know what? I don't have a personal relationship with this guy outside of, you know,
being a fan.
5 minutes at spring training in 04. So, like, I don't know what to do.
Well,
I don't think it's difficult to cover. You cover everything, Dan. I mean, everybody in this town loves David Ortiz. I can tell you from the times we've had to deal with him, you couldn't ask for a nicer guy in the business. I said that earlier in the show. I don't think I've met a nicer guy in the business. Maybe Bobby Orr would be the only one I could throw out there. But this happened last night, and I'm sorry that people in the media sitting there going, I don't want to see the video. I think you have to see all of this stuff if you're going to cover it and talk about it, correct? So I think we're trying to give you all angles of it. I don't know what you do. Do you bury your head in the sand? We all want David Ortiz to get better and be fine. Everybody wants that. There's nobody out there that I know of that's sitting here going, oh, I don't want it to go well. What are we talking about?
So how do you form an opinion based on the initial reports of it being a robbery, and then realizing there's a new video out there of the actual incident, and you don't see that, you don't watch that one. If you don't watch that one, and all you have is the original report, you have no idea.
You tell me
how convoluted the story is. How it makes no sense.
You're making a great point here. So you tell me, once you saw that video, your first reaction was what?
It's a hit.
It's not a robbery.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a hit.
Fine. Okay, right. It's not a robbery.
Right. Exactly.
It's a calculated
correct
assassination attempt.
I don't see
David
how you
Ortiz
look at it any other way. Any other way?
Because there's hundreds. I mean, I don't know how many people are actually in that restaurant. Tons of people there.
Because if I were robbing you right now, I would take that watch.
Yep.
That's the first thing I'd do.
Yeah, you'd take it. You'd have to pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
What are you having for dinner over there?
I might steal your
chicken and broccoli.
You don't want that. You lose in that situation. I go out and I go buy a sub because I'm feeling bad and sad.
617-779-7937. Alou actually had a vacation day today. And so he came in here because of the David Ortiz story. And he spent the first couple of hours with us, and then obviously we sent him home. And
yes, we did.
And he's got something he's got to do anyway, so it was nice of him to show. I'm not going to do that this summer.
No.
I promise you. How about you?
I'm translating Spanish to English right now so I don't get us in trouble.
Joe.
Thank you.
Is in Long Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you, fellas? Listen, my background, I'm a Boston. I grew up in Boston. I've been in New York since 1970. I had a business with 150 Hispanic people. Most of them came from Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. The situation here is passion. If somebody's fooling around with somebody's lady, they don't care what the situation is. They're going to get revenge. And, you know, if this guy was driving the Rolls Royce, he may be a friend. Who knows? What a better setup to have him be involved, and then he looked like a great guy. Who the hell knows? There's a lot of twists and turns that takes place. When Joe Colombo, the Italian civil rights leader, was shot in Columbus Circle in New York City, a black guy shot him as he was giving a speech, and then a white guy shot the black guy. End of story. They never found anybody. Case closed. I think Poppy, I hope he's not involved. He's a wonderful, wonderful athlete. When I was a kid, my outfielders were Ted Williams, Jimmy Pearsall, and Jackie Jensen. And Poppy, I still am a Red Sox fan, and I just hope and pray that he's going to be okay. But I would not. I think it's got to be a hit because there may be another lady involved.
You see, I think the Daily Mail story is not a crazy one, okay? And that's why when we brought it up originally, I cautioned everybody that it's from a newspaper in London. A newspaper that, by the way, pays for their stories, like TMZ. So, therefore, they do nail some of this stuff. And that it's not outrageous to talk about what we're dealing with down there in the Dominican. Here's Charlotte and Southie. Charlotte?
Hey.
Hey. Good afternoon. How are you?
What's Great. Up?
So I'm going to quote Tiger Woods saying indiscretions. Yeah, it's common that target possibly from a disgruntled husband. It happened to my brother-in-law. His father was involved with another woman. And yes, he was a hit. He was shot and he died from his injury. So it's not uncommon. It's one of those unspoken things that happen.
Well, where it really jumps out at us is that there's nobody more popular than David Ortiz in that country. So you sit there and say, why would somebody shoot this guy? You know, he's like a mascot. He's the country. And they love him down there, and he does everything. And he look at the philanthropy and what he's contributed to a lot of those people down there. So you try to figure it out. And, yeah, I think the Daily Mail has come up with something that they claim now has been confirmed by three law enforcement people. So it's out there. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But is it a possibility? It is.
He's a regular human being. He's got feelings like everyone else. There's been multiple indiscretions throughout history that everyone knows. He's a regular guy. Unfortunately, it made the media. He was in the wrong place. They knew where he was, and they knew how to get him back. Obviously, what can we say? We just hope that he heals, he recovers, his family pulls through with him, but it's just an unfortunate situation.
All right, sure. I'm with you.
Let's mix in some hockey. I love it when guys question what you do at night during these games. Could you go to Mike in the car, please?
Mike is in the car. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
What's up, Mike?
I do have a question. Christian, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
So let me ask you this, Glenn. Did you actually watch the game, or did you just read the box score this morning?
Mike, I can tell you this. I watched every minute of the game far more than Brett Hull saw last night. Because I can tell you, we lost Brett Hull by the end of the second period. We lost Brett Hull. He was not around for the third period.
That's not exactly a high bar, Glenn. But here's my problem with what you're saying. You just said that the penalties all went the Bruins' way last night.
No. Time out.
Hold on. Let's let Mike finish.
They wanted the Bruins. Go ahead.
That's not what I'm saying.
You said they called the game the way the Bruins wanted.
They called penalties, Mike. So if you are Craig Berube.
Okay, hold on. Glenn. In the first period, they called a penalty against Shen for boarding. Then they had to call the other one because it was a delay of game. The Bruins went on a two-man advantage and they scored, right?
Yep.
The Bruins didn't get another power play until there was 22 seconds left in the game.
So, Mike, Mike, you're missing the point. You watched the game, Mike, but you have no idea what you saw. So I'm asking you this question. In Wednesday night's game, if you are Craig Berube, do you want the officials to call? Because St. Louis had one more penalty than the Bruins called last night. They are the aggressive. They're the physical team.
Because they got a bunch at the end.
Okay, but you tell me. You tell me on Wednesday, what would you like? If you're Craig Berube, do you want the officials to swallow the whistles, or do you want them to call penalties against either team?
Okay. That's
answer.
Fine,
answer the question. That's my whole point.
Berube wants them to swallow the whistle, but that's my point.
That's exactly what I said.
That's exactly what you said, brother.
That is exactly. You didn't understand what I said. That's your issue. That's your problem. But there's a difference here.
Well, four penalties.
That they don't care. Because
it all came at the end of the game.
That's right. But you don't care about that because we've already said it. We heard Pierre McGuire say it earlier. St. Louis has a pathetic power play.
Terrible.
It's not about penalties. It's not about St. Louis getting the man advantage. It's about the officials not letting stuff go. So therefore, when St. Louis go out there and commit penalties, the officials are swallowing their whistles. They're not calling them.
It's about honor.
That clearly plays into the hands of the St. Louis Blues. If I'm Butch Cassidy, you know what I want? I want him to call stuff the whole game long. I want him to call stuff. That's what I want.
I watch the game.
Thank you.
Keep it going.
Do you not want him to call stuff all game?
No, actually,
I want him to call it.
I don't.
If you're Cassidy.
If I'm Cassidy.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean.
My power play is right now dynamite. They have no power play
on them. But here's the thing: there, if what Pierre said and what history, if it holds up, then there won't be a lot of calls.
And that's bad for the Bruins.
The obvious calls are going to be,
hold on, was that not my point?
You know, a puck over the glass, but some sort of delay of game penalty.
Okay, but that, those are fluke.
Yeah.
You tell me, was that my point earlier in the show today? That was my point.
That there was a love triangle with David Ortiz?
No. My point was, you're confusing the two stars.
Sorry.
Okay, this is hockey. My point was that if you're the St. Louis Blues, you want those guys to swallow the whistles Wednesday night.
Yeah, of course.
And if you're the Bruins, yeah. I don't care if they call them on us.
You
call
don't.
Them on them, too. Call them on both teams.
I always thought
that's
that
better for the Bruins.
And if that's the case, then you know the Bruins should not be afraid to push the envelope, to challenge the refs to see what they're willing to put away with. Because I'm going to say they're like 1-for-19. It's something crazy. They only have one goal on the power play, the Blues do. It's pathetic.
So you're telling me that
there's no threat.
So you're telling me that
the
Bruins
clear
the
puck every single time.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that the Bruins should go out there and be physical and try to match St. Louis? I think that's crazy. Why do you think Carson Kuhlman was out in that game last night on the second line? Because of his speed. And guess what? It was a factor for all the people that were bitching. And I saw writers who were tweeting this out. Why are you putting – why isn't David Backes there? Because he used to play for the Blues. And maybe he'd be emotional about, you know, going in.
We bet on emotion.
Kuhlman was
in a
terrific
like
in that
this.
Game last night. He opened
Ken
the
Laird
ice
called
up
that.
For you.
Ken Laird
Ken
called
Laird
that.
Called
yes,
that?
He did.
Good
yes,
for
he
Ken.
Did. We give him credit. Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Let's go. Somebody wants to give you some encouragement.
That's a real
so
hockey
let's
guy.
Do this.
I'm not going to him.
Come
I'm going
on. He wants
I'm
to give you encouragement.
No.
You're going back?
Do me a favor.
We're going to go back and forth.
Do me a favor. Okay, stick to making,
Let me do you a favor.
Go to your
don't let Mike,
I'll go to the
don't let Mike in under your skin.
I'll go to the call.
Why do you let Mike in under
quiet,
your skin?
Quiet, I'm going to Maria in Watertown. You be quiet. Maria. I wish Lou were
he
here.
He gets so upset. Mike gets them every single time.
Please.
Mike, call back tomorrow, please.
Shut up.
And around 4:50.
Mike doesn't listen.
What's up, Maria?
Oh my God! You guys are like you're on something.
I know we're
today.
Childish.
I don't know
I
what
it
is.
I know. It's another like Game Seven.
Wish we were.
I can't believe it's gonna be a Game Seven. Another
it's
Game Seven in Boston, Maria. Have you got? Can you feel it?
Hold on.
You
want to
know the last?
Do you remember
time
the last time
there was a Game
when
Seven
was it?
In
go ahead.
1984?
That's right. Who
it
won?
It was the Lakers
who won
and the
who
Celtics.
Lost? Who won and who lost?
Guys, the Celtics lost.
Huh? You were welcome. Oh, you were crying.
Yeah.
Were you crying?
Yeah.
You were crying.
Go ahead, Maria.
Oh, my God, guys.
I know.
I'm not usually at a loss for words,
I
but
know.
I'm at a loss for words right
go
now.
Go ahead. What do you got, Maria?
All right. So on the David Ortiz situation, which, I'm very, very sorry that happened to him, and I do wish him a speedy recovery, here's my question to you guys. With the Daily Mail story that just came out, which still needs to be confirmed. However,
yes,
if
true.
There's any truth, if there's any truth to that story, and there were law enforcement officials involved in this alleged hit on David, do you think that the Red Sox were concerned enough about that in terms of not only his medical treatment, but his safety to get him out of the Dominican Republic? Because, you know, these people, they don't play around. And
yeah, but Maria,
yeah,
I hear what you're saying, but I think they got him out for medical reasons and because they have obviously an attachment, a partnership with Mass General. Let's face it, the medical attention you're going to get here in the city of Boston at Mass General, no disrespect to the Dominican Republic, because I've heard people today say we're being unfair in the way we're talking about it. It's day and night. You know, I had a kidney stone attack in Italy, and I was literally put in a room with a prisoner. The guy was handcuffed to the bed, okay? The windows were open. There were mosquitoes everywhere. And they brought out a unit to check and find out if I actually had a kidney stone, which I knew I had because I had one before. And they brought something that looked out of, like, the TV show MASH from, like, 1952, okay? And they brought it out. And they said, no, you don't have any. You got nothing. I mean, come on. The doctors over there in Italy, and Italy is more sophisticated, I would believe, medically than maybe Dominican Republic is. How much education do you think? What do you have to get to be a certified doctor
in Italy?
In the Dominican?
Oh,
in Italy,
Dominican?
4 years. 4 years in Italy. That's it. 4 years.
Ooh, I could do that.
You can go to community college and get a medical degree in some of these countries. So let's face it. They're bringing him to a place where he is going to get the best medical attention you could get in the world. People come from all over the world to get medical attention here. The safety issue, I've got to believe that David Ortiz has got enough people.
Get me the hell out of here.
They've got enough people around him.
Oh, really?
I think they have people protecting
him. Now they know that somebody's out to get him.
Yeah, I think they probably
do. It's like that scene from The Godfather where the guy walks around with a pillow.
let me go to Guy in Leonard. Is it Guy? Hockey name. Guy. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Fonzie Ordway, you can't admit you're wrong, can you?
What was I wrong about? If I'm wrong, I will admit it.
I'm going to have to defend Mike in the car here because you said earlier that the penalties, the Bruins got the calls, and that the 5-on-3 changed the game, and Mike was right, and that the penalty that gave them the 5-on-3 was when he shot it into the stands.
Correct.
That's not a judgment call, Glenn.
Right.
What are you going to do? Chara shot one in the stands, I think, too, last night.
But Guy, the point I'm trying to make is that's the type of game the Bruins want. You had 11 penalties called in that game last night. That's what they want. What the St. Louis Blues want. The Bruins do. Penalties called.
Glenn, professional sports, it's so hard to watch because it's all about penalties, especially football now. Everything centers around the penalties now. And
are you a Bruins fan? Floppy. Are you a Bruins fan, Guy?
Huge.
Okay, what do you want Wednesday night? Do you want penalties called or not?
I want good 5-on-5 hockey, Glenn, is what I want.
You're crazy. If you're a Bruins fan, you want the officials, and I don't think they will. And you've already heard Pierre Maguire say the same thing. It is Game 7. They're going to put their whistles away. If you're a Bruins fan, based on what you've seen through six games of the series, you want to see the Bruins. You want to see penalties. You want to see their power play.
The Blues soiled their diaper last night. They're not even going to show up Wednesday. They're going to get destroyed Wednesday night. Take it to the bank.
Okay, wave the banner.
If I'm not emotional and stupid, who is?
I get my little foam finger here. I mean, can't we talk about this intelligently and logically? If you're a Bruins fan, you want the officials to call penalties on Wednesday night. The Bruins are much better when the officials are not allowing St. Louis. I heard Dale say this today, and he's absolutely correct. This is as dirty a hockey team as you're going to find. Well, Wednesday night, if they swallow their whistles, guess what? They're going to let them play dirty.
We'll concentrate on all the good stuff. We really will. But the St. Louis Blues are a cheap shot bunch of players.
Thank you, Dale.
And the stuff at the end of the
game.
I did, almost.
That's a hockey guy right there.
We were on cable, right? But the stuff that went on at the end of that game, Bortuzzo, play.
Did that really surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me a bit. That's what they are.
And if they can get away with that on Wednesday, you're going
to
sit here Thursday, and that same guy from Lynn's going to be calling me up saying we got screwed by the officials, right? Because I don't... Even though they got 5-on-5 goals last night, do you trust them 5-on-5 versus St. Louis? St. Louis is a better 5-on-5 team. You're much better power play. It isn't even close power play.
Yeah, the Blues don't want that power
your
play.
Power
they don't
play,
want to be on the PK.
Your power play is tremendous,
terrible.
And theirs is
more
awful.
Than 50%.
Awful. All right, we get back to the phone calls, talking David Ortiz, talking about the Bruins as well, at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Rebound! Is it in? It was behind for a moment, but did not go in. And it's cleared back down.
That thing was on his back. And he had his glove there, Doc, and spun completely around, and then the puck just fell.
And that's what keeps that puck out. You're absolutely right. It's kind of caught in the back butt of Tuukka Rask.
Wow. Brian Boucher brought this up last night. It's an interesting point. Does Tuukka Rask still get the Conn Smythe if the Blues win in a close game? Maybe. So if it's a 3-2 game, let's say, And unless Ryan O'Reilly plays into, let's say, two goals and he gets the game winner, maybe they give it to him. But if not, maybe Tuukka Rask gets it in a losing series. Gets the Conn Smythe because it represents the entire playoffs. It's not just the finals. That's the way the NBA does it. NHL does it differently. And yet, I'll give you a number. I threw this out earlier to Pierre when we were talking about him. The Bruins' defense has been so good in this series. Now, maybe it is that St. Louis is just not creative in their own end because St. Louis spends more time possessing the puck in the offensive end. They did it again last night, and yet they get very little out of it. But a lot
it
of
remind me of the Jaguars.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time.
They just grind
in there,
it
and
it slowly.
And they can't score.
We want two, yeah. Their score is going to be 2-1.
Right.
1-0.
Right.
They're fine with it.
Yes. And that's how they win games.
Yeah, and they're just methodical, grind it out,
right.
Not going to be too fancy, going to be physical. We get a lead, and we love it when we have a 1-0 lead.
Okay, so we're giving too much credit here to Tuukka Rask. He had one and saved one on his back last night. To be honest with you, he's getting a lot of credit for that because it's great video. It's unbelievable.
And the back butt.
Charlie McAvoy deserves the credit. He got the stick up and knocked the puck back, and it went on his
timing.
Back. The only thing really that Tuukka did is he pushed back away from the net so the thing couldn't slip over the red line. That's all right. But the block shots, listen to this. In this series, block shots last night were 16-9 Bruins, right? Blocking everything, giving up your body in front.
Before he even gets to Tuukka.
Krejci had the game saver the other night by doing exactly that, right? The Bruins in this series, 96 block shots. The St. Louis Blues, 58.
Wow.
And it's been dominant in every game. That's not just a crazy number. 12-7 game one, 19-13 in game two, 19-7 game three, 15-7 game four, 15-15 in game five, and 16-9 in game six. So five of the six, they had far more block shots, almost 2-1, and they were even in one game. Are we giving too much credit here?
Well, I think it
to
is.
Tuukka, the defense
it is
has
a,
been unbelievable.
I think it is a. Well, I guess last night's game, I would say, you can easily say that. Excuse me, but the discussion before Game Six was, well, Tuukka hasn't really been the savior, and he hasn't been the heel either. He's kind of just been floating right in the middle, right? He hasn't necessarily stole a game, but I would say this is the Game Six was about as close as he came to actually stealing it. Like, without him, you would have lost because he made a bunch of saves. And I know we're going all over the place, but I want to grab Jay in the car because...
Why are you doing this again?
Because I want to. Because I thought about this. I had this in my notes.
You think about what these callers want to talk about, and you always get it wrong.
I know. You know what? You're right about that.
I'm always
I'm a terrible...
You're not good with the callers.
So, Jay...
Why don't you do what you...
Let me try one more.
If
Jay's bad...
Freak stores.
Hold on. Wait. If Jay... I wish I could just do that. If Jay is bad, okay, you can put me on a one-week suspension on never being able to call out callers.
Listen, you got
okay?
to
pick callers. So, because Jay... Okay, and now, maybe this is Tyler's fault, because it says, game changed late in the second period.
Oh, sure. It's not your fault.
So, maybe it's the...
Jesus. Hey, here's Jay in a car. Jay?
That's a lot of pressure, kid.
What's up, man?
That's a lot of pressure. I tell you right now, I'm probably going to do it right because I'm more of a football guy and more of an X-Nose football guy. I don't know a lot about hockey. But something changed in the second period. And let's draw the analogy of a powerhouse football team, physical, strong, not very athletic, not very fast. They try to shorten the game to try to keep it within your zone. Somehow, some way, late in the second period, the Bruins opened the game up.
Well, you had a 3-0 lead. Once you get a 3-0 lead.
Oh, late in the second period.
Yeah, St. Louis not coming back.
Yeah, well, okay. All the goals, all the game came in the third. But right. At the end of the second period, there were a lot of shots on goal that were not going in.
Glenn, watch the game again. That's their strength. They have the speed, the athletic. They're not as physical, not as tough as St. Louis. So what do? You got to open the game up. You got to use your speed. One thing I noticed is they put a guy on the blue line, right? So I don't know. It's like basketball. You get the rebound. You dish it out, right? They started popping the puck up, and they started doing a little bit longer passes, open the game up. I'm looking for your expertise. Like, hey, did you see the same thing? Because they're not going to compete with them physically. They got to get their speed going. They got to be more athletic.
Well, we said that earlier, and Carson Kuhlman was a major factor, including scoring a goal. All right, his first goal in the
I'll
in
take
the
a
playoffs.
Suspension on that one.
Yeah, that I'll he take was a suspension. He wasn't making it. I mean, I thought the Bruins controlled the third period. Right, we all agree with that, right?
See, now Tyler's giving me encouragement, giving me advice. He wants you to go to line three.
He feels
three.
Bad now.
He feels like line three.
I'm not listening.
Why is it some sort of setup?
I'm not listening.
You don't trust Tyler?
Huh?
That's Tyler said that.
Oh, I'm going to
Tyler.
Dan.
You want to bounce for that guy?
Line Hello, Dan.
A good one.
All right. Okay, you're all retired.
Dave, you're gonna have to
Goodbye.
Wait.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hello.
Oh Lord.
Maybe I made the mistake.
Damn it.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Dan.
Oh, my God. Bye. Hang up on him. No. Hey. Goodbye. You go. Just, forget
you,
about it.
Why did you just hang up
your
on that
guy?
Guy?
Go. Go, go to Dave. Go to line three.
You just stay out of it.
How do I take over the call screen?
You're not.
Hello?
You're not.
Go to line three. Tyler said he's good.
Just go to Dave and Worcester. Hello, Dave.
Is this thing on?
Hello, Dave.
Dave. Oh,
this
I'll tell
is
you
good.
What. You're blaming it on the phone.
No, no, no. Glenn had the Ordway slider.
Oh, no, no. You had the volume down.
No, he did. He took over the control.
That's not true. I can't even reach
him. Oh, yeah. He just reached. He took over.
Okay, let's hear from Dave. Go, Dave.
Dave.
Thank you. You guys are freaking hilarious. I love you guys. But anyways, listen, Glenn, I'm going to give you a little encouragement.
Thank
here.
You, Dave. I
a little
need
bit
that.
Of help. Yeah. All right? Because I get, listen, I'm a skeptic too. You know, it's a game seven. Anything can happen. I agree with you completely on that. Okay? But what I'm looking at is the fact that Marchand, Bergeron, all them guys got their hearts ripped out in 2013 on their home ice. They're not letting that happen again. I truly believe that. They're not going to allow that to happen again on their home ice.
All right. So,
first time since 84.
Dave, I agree.
We've had a game seven on home ice.
Okay. Dave, I agree with you that the Bruins are the more experienced team. Okay. Five guys
it's
have
not
been
about
there.
Experience. I'm not saying experience, Glenn. I'm really not. What I'm saying is that drive is going to let them not fail. The drive to not want to fail again on their own home ice in front of their fans.
All right.
You know,
I just think, but Dave, I look at St. Louis, and have we not paid attention in the series? They've already won two games in your building, and they play great on the road, and they play like crap at home.
Okay, but they can do that. But when it comes to game seven,
okay,
that's where it's
different. All right. I'm worried about this game Wednesday night. I know everybody's just looking, and there were a lot of people that were writing off the Bruins before last night's game. All right? There were a lot of people. Over the weekend, you saw it. A lot of people said, oh, this is going to be a terrible offseason if they lose this or whatever. And the Blues did the same thing. They had already won it. In their mind, they had won it. I think maybe with all those fans they have out in St. Louis, that's a bad thing. They feel the encouragement. They don't think they have to go out there and bust their ass. But for some reason, this team is 5-6. This is a team now that's playing Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. They are below 500 during the playoffs at home. They're 5-6. They're 9-3 on the road.
Okay, quick update from Enrique Rojas. Okay. David Ortiz va en una ambulancia rumbo al aeropuerto.
Please translate.
So he's in an ambulance on his way to the airport, where his lo espera un avión que la llevará a Boston. He's on his way to Boston.
Plane is
Where's Will Fleming?
What do you say?
A plane is waiting for him.
Do us all a favor.
You didn't understand that?
Will Fleming is probably getting
prepped up for the
pregame show. Maybe he can help us out a little bit.
No, so he's leaving. I just saw a bunch of pictures. He's leaving the airport. The ambulance is waiting for him. And on its way to take him to we said it was an air ambulance.
It is.
Okay, well, maybe they just put up a random JetBlue Red Sox airplane.
It's allowed him to really focus.
But that's what
hard.
It is. It's a regular plane.
I thought it was like an actual like medic plane.
No, they'll bring all the equipment on. They bring all the equipment
doesn't
on.
Have to, I know, but doesn't have to like lay down?
No, I don't think
the movie is.
I don't think the hospitals own their airplanes. They have helicopters.
I know, but we talked about like the Army. Like they'll fly these guys in like a military plane. Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
But he's going to fly in a regular old JetBlue airplane?
Yeah, but they're bringing all of this. You don't think they're moving seats out and they're clearing out an area?
I actually don't know what they're doing. I'm not a hospital insider.
Where they doctor?
I'm a hockey insider.
segundo,
I don't know about that. That was a little shaky last week. Thank you, Will. Here's Jason in a car. We should have used Will today. This is crazy.
We need him today.
Use a resource. Jason, go ahead, bud.
Hey, guys. Just want to talk about the block shots. So I think it's great that the Bruins have such an advantage. But think about why that is. It's because the Blues defensemen have free rein back there. The Bruins forwards are playing so deep in their own zone, they're going down to help because the D is getting killed in our own corners, that the puck is getting back out, and the Blues defensemen have two or three strides before they have to take a shot. So it's great that that's happening, that they're blocking the shots, but they shouldn't be in that position that the Blues defensemen are teeing up as often as
they are. I'm not sure I buy that. I actually think what they're doing is a strategy that they're utilizing right now because of the way that St. Louis operates in their offensive zone. And Pierre was referring to that earlier. He's talking about how bad their power play is and how poorly they set up. And they're afraid to isolate a guy and leave a guy in an area alone. So I think a lot of it is by design, but I don't think we're giving enough credit to guys who are, and we've seen guys, you know, limp off, you know, the ice because they're taking the puck off their body. It's been a big factor in the series. You know, and I know we're giving all of the credit to Tuukka Rask, and I'm just throwing a little love out there. A little love out there.
A little
there
love. A lot of love being sent out there.
Well, they need it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Let's go to Glenn. Glenn's in Central Massachusetts.
Ooh, I wonder why we went to Glenn.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Glenn.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I wanted to give you some props on that. Bruins definitely want the penalties called in Game 7. I mean,
thank you,
Glenn. I get what you're saying, Glenn. They definitely want them called.
Thank you.
But at the same time, like the penalty that was last night for the boarding call that put us on the first power play, that might not have been called in previous games, like right after Berube complained.
Yep.
I could see that call going by without being called. So I get that, but I do disagree with you about the 5-on-5. I believe that the Bruins are the better team 5-on-5. They do have more talent, and it's just whether they can engage that talent. Like Marchand being terrible for the most of the series until like last game was a huge factor for us. He really needed to get going, and he did.
But hold on, Glenn.
It's like he's talking to
him. But why can you take? Why are you taking anything that happened in Game 6 and think it's going to translate to Game 7? The one thing we've learned in this series, through six games, what we thought was going to happen after Game 1 in Game 2 never happened. And then in Game 2, we learned something new, right, and it didn't happen in Game 3. There are adjustments made through all of this. But if you're looking, look at goals scored, 5-on-5. St. Louis has been better than the Bruins. The Bruins have been great on the power play. Tremendous on the power play.
And a lot of that, if you look at a lot of that adjustment that came from us to get that better 5-on-5 last game, even because we got a lot of opportunities 5-on-5 last game that we weren't seeing in the others, is because our defensemen were able to stay at the blue line and keep pucked in.
So
you have not seen in the other games at all. And one of the reasons, you even talk about the players said Bergeron kind of rallied the troops, talked to him and said, all right, guys, we need to change our game up. And you could even see, like, the speed that Kuhlman brought was incredible, but the defensemen weren't as scared.
Glenn, I appreciate it. You're giving me a rundown of Game 6, and all I'm telling you is that if you look at the series, the next game has never mirrored the previous game. So you see just the opposite. So what we're looking at, and all the things you said, are accurate. The Bruins did a lot of good 5-on-5. They opened things up. That first line, Marchand got a big goal. Quick release on the stick. All of that is accurate. But why do we think it's going to happen in Game 7 again? Because in this series, nothing that's happened in the previous game has translated into the next game. And that's what I fear coming up Wednesday night. All right, last call. It's coming up next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Touchdown!
Would you get a f***ing ass?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
By the way, last hour brought to you by the Golfer's Warehouse. And, of course, Last Call is always brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule a free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. You know what I love?
What do you love?
I love it. I love it when we get emotion in the game of baseball. There isn't enough emotion in the game of baseball. So when a guy hits a long home run, all right, screw it, pitcher. You give it up. Tough. If he wants to celebrate, he wants to toss the bat, he's entitled to do it. So Max Muncy hits one. Big Dodger Giant rivalry right now, right? And Madison Bumgarner? Not happy.
You know, the more, God, I can't even say it with a straight face. I was going to say, the more I think about it, you got to just let the kids play. That's what everybody's saying, but I can't. They want to let everybody be themselves, you know, letting me be myself. That's me, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd just assume fight and walk or whatever. So just do your thing. I'll do mine.
He is country, isn't he? I feel like he's got like a
little bit of country.
Like, so, like, you know, he's like chewing some hay.
He's from Granite Falls, North Carolina.
Yeah, he's got his overalls on with no shirt.
Oh, good boy, they stole my moonshine all over again.
So, I guess I don't have a problem with him. If he wants to get, you know, a little pissy because the guy hits a home run, get a little pissy.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's adding emotion. So, Max Muncy is just playing up with Bumgarner's emotions. So he's rounding the bases right now, and he's carrying on a conversation with him.
You know, I hit the ball, and then he yelled at me. He said, "Don't watch the ball, you run." And I just responded back, you know, if you don't want me to watch the ball, you can go get it out of the ocean.
Here's the thing. You know, these pitchers, they're one of the biggest problems with baseball. They control the game. They control the tempo. They control these stupid, unwritten rules. Like, you can't, you know, you can't pimp a home run.
I hold all the cards now.
You gave up the home run. what do you mean? He can't celebrate? Because your goal, the pitcher's goal, is to strike out the batter and make him look silly. Right? So, if he does that, you can show some happiness.
Right.
You should show some excitement. You just accomplished something that was really tough.
Right.
So, you being upset about some guy being excited about being successful is about as stupid as a defense being mad about an offense spiking the football after they score a touchdown.
I mean, to watch the ball, you can go get it out of the ocean.
Go get it. He's such a baby. This is 1960.
So let it go. I mean, just if you want to get emotional about it.
Oh, they're ruining the game. You know what? They're the reasons. They're the biggest babies there is.
We said this a few weeks ago when all of this stuff started with the Bruins. There's nothing worse than the hockey snobs, the ones that are telling us who can talk about it and who can't talk about it. So we have, on the weekend, we have the Red Sox broadcast, and they hired Tom Caron to do base.
Who? Who's that?
Tom Caron.
Where's he from?
Nesson.
Oh.
Okay, they hire him to do play-by-play. Okay, we love TC.
Dining book table, whatever that thing is.
No, he actually
dining
does.
Dining playbook?
No, he doesn't do that.
They have games on that.
Red Sox baseball in Nesson.
He's the one that sucks up to all the ex-players.
So Joey hired him, one of the 32 people he hired to do play-by-play, to do one on the radio this weekend with our own guy, Ken Laird. Okay? Hockey snob. And so instead of doing their little Red Sox play-by-play, and I know it's a pretty bad weekend.
Talk about us.
3 out of 4.
Talk about us.
Oh,
must have been a boring game.
Now, Ken, you remember a couple weeks ago, during a rainout, Steve Buckley and I filled in on the flagship station.
I
kind of called out
it was a lot of your
talent for the lack of hockey coverage during the regular season.
How have we done the last week? Have we stepped
Much
our
better.
Game up?
It was nice for them to interrupt their coverage of the NBA Finals to talk about the Bruins. I thought that was great. They'll get back to the NBA draft next week. I appreciate this week them watching the hockey games. 3-2 pitch broken. Actually, just lost the handle of the bat. Oh, and a terrific catch by a fan.
Ooh. So first of all, okay, stop talking hockey and get back to baseball. That's what you were hired for, TC. Okay, second of all, have we talked about the NBA Finals? This could be it tonight. We haven't mentioned
it. I hope it is.
We may mention it a little bit tomorrow, maybe if there's some Celtic news with Anthony Davis, which there might be, by the way.
I think you guys have talked more about Drake's shenanigans on the sidelines
than
the actual game itself.
We did. What are we talking about?
When game's on too late. I want nothing to do with those games.
I get like this whenever hockey starts to get coverage because I have the same attitude every year. Where you been?
We have talked about hockey more.
You've been breaking stories.
And had more relevant topics and stories than anybody in this city.
You haven't broken any football stories. You've broken
the last
3, 4, 5 hockey stories.
I am a hockey insider. That's why
it was nice for them to interrupt their coverage of the NBA Finals.
Because we were breaking news. And we weren't analyzing the game. We were breaking news. And I hate to just a quick the Toronto series. There's a reason why. Do you watch the Toronto Raptors after they won that last game?
Yes, they walked
the
off
way
the
they,
court.
I didn't love say anything. That
they're not done yet.
Cold blooded assassins.
They took two in Golden State, and they're sitting there going, "We haven't done anything."
And you know where that comes from? And people give Kawhi Leonard. Everyone's like they're talking about him, how mysterious it is. He's quiet. That all comes from him. That personality. So that guy, after there's no way that guy can leave.
Do you remember?
No way he can leave.
Do you remember last year? Do you remember last year when the fans were calling up? And unfortunately, this might be true of Danny Ainge. He might have screwed this one up as well, based on what I saw with Chris Mannix over the weekend. But do you remember the callers that would call up? I'm not trading Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum for Kawhi Leonard.
No, you can't take Jay
really?
Crowder.
Really?
He's a
so a
stone.
Year later, the window opens up now because Golden State has got all of these injuries, and you finally have a chance to win an NBA championship. Everything that Celtic fans thought was going to happen a year ago, and we blew it.
Avery
they blew
Bradley's
it.
Going to be a superstar.
Stop it. They blew it. They blew it.
He's not even scratching his potential.
And people, back up to Brinks truck.
He's got a cool
King
nickname.
Of the Fourth.
King of the Fourth.
TC. When are we going to get TC in here? I bet he's not going to talk all that smack if he's sitting in that chair over there.
We'll get him in here in November, and we'll bring him in, and we'll talk like 5 minutes
all right,
of
let's
Bruins,
talk
and,
about
and then we'll move on to something else. All right, let me just tell you that this has been brought to you by Arch Painting, this latest little segment, whatever. We're back tomorrow, aren't we?
Of course
Lou's
we are.
Back with us tomorrow. It's just a
full
one-day vacation.
Full time, yes. All four hours.
4 hours we are back. So you get Red Sox baseball coming up next. I'm reading more stuff here on David Ortiz. I think there's going to be some more coming
watch
out
TMZ.
In the next 24 hours. He's on his way shortly on a flight back here to Boston. It's going to be an interesting story to see how it opens up. We wish our best, obviously, to him.
Of course.
We're back tomorrow, 2 p.m. We're out of here, Ryan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.